If you are a small business owner, I'm sure sometimes you feel like you need a marketing degree just to successfully market your business. I'm here to tell you that is not the case if you use Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning platform has powerful marketing tools to make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more. In just a few clicks, you can launch a campaign that is tailored to your business and goals. Maybe you're launching a new product, or releasing a newsletter, or want to tell your customers about upcoming deals. Constant Contact can help with all of that. This includes email, SMS, social media, and so much more, all designed to be easy so you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track business growth. Plus, Constant Contact's award-winning customer service is there for guidance along the way to help you with things like customer lists, templates, and follow-ups. Get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
Blue Wire.
NFL Draft. The Detroit Lions select Jahmyr Gibbs, running back, Alabama.
Back off, looks, Goff throws, caught inside the one, fighting for the end zone, and getting in for the touchdown, Detroit Lions. Amon-Ra St. Brown. The snap, he's got it, wants to throw. Wentz looks, pressure comes. Wentz, hit, sack, back inside the 20. Aiden Hutchinson, that's number two.
Yo, what is going on, guys? Welcome back to the Pride Podcast, episode 331 on the Blue Wire Network. I am your host, Tyler. Joe, my main guy, as always, Mr. Malcolm Hart.
Woo! What's up, man? How you doing, man? Yo, it is, we got the Vikings, man. We got another NFC matchup, man. Let's go.
Yeah, this is a huge matchup. I mean, this is something, at least for me, I mean, you might have seen it before. I know it's been a while, but this is an opportunity for the Lions to clinch their first division title since 1993 and to clinch the NFC North for the first time in franchise history. I mean, this is a huge weekend for the Detroit Lions. I'm excited.
Yeah, this is huge, man. This is going to be something in the record books, man. This is exciting, man. I wonder how the players feel right now. Hopefully there's not too much pressure on them. But this is in the history books right here.
Yeah, so they asked C.J. Gardner-Johnson on Wednesday in the locker room, who we're going to get into his injury report, and we're going to talk about his status very soon. But they asked him that question, is like, how would you feel to win the NFC North title? Obviously, you're a guy who's went to the Super Bowl. You've seen success in this league. He said he would cry if the Lions win the NFC North. He said he's going to cry when they win the NFC North. So
he's going to cry? Shit, I'm going to cry.
He's going to cry. And he's only been here for 1 year, but yeah, man, it's a special. Hopefully they can get it done this weekend. It'd be a very nice Christmas gift. They're playing on Christmas Eve. You guys know the Lions pass on Christmas Eve. I hate it. The last two Christmas Eves, not the last two, but like the last two times the Lions have played on Christmas Eve have been very rough and have ended our seasons. So to get this, to win the division, that like really brings it in, as in you're truly brand new Lions at that point, breaking the Christmas Eve Christmas Eve juju.
Yeah, definitely, man. Shoot, winning the NFC North, yeah, you definitely are brand new Lions at this point, man.
Yeah, I remember it just like I was a kid, 10 years old, 2011. The Lions clinched a playoff berth in 2000 on Christmas Eve in 2011 versus the Chargers at home. So you have an opportunity here.
How do you remember that?
Someone asked me the other day, what was my favorite Christmas memory? I said that was actually one of my favorite Christmas memories of all time.
How do you remember that?
It was a big day, man. It was the first time I've ever seen the Lions in the playoffs. Ever.
I mean, that's how many years? That's over 10 years, man. That's 12 years ago, man.
Yeah, it's over 10 years. So what was it, 12 years ago?
12 years ago, man. 12 years ago. To remember that, that's insane. But yeah, kudos to you, man, for remembering that.
All right, let's get into this injury report, and then I got a side topic that we could talk about afterwards. I'll start off with the Vikings, and Malcolm can read off the Lions once after. So here we go. You got edge rusher Danielle Hunter, who was dealing with an illness, did not practice on Wednesday. Running back Alexander Mattison, dealing with an ankle. He did not practice. He didn't play last week. Cornerback Byron Murphy, dealing with a knee issue, did not practice. You had offensive tackle Brian O'Neill, did not practice with an ankle. And then you had defensive tackle Harrison Phillips that did not practice with a back injury. And I'll get into some limiteds. You had defensive end Jonathan Bullard, he was limited with an ankle. You had defensive tackle Sheldon Day with an ankle, also limited. And then Jordan Hicks, linebacker, was a full participant with the shin injury. So, for the most part, pretty healthy, but they got some key guys on there, like Danielle Hunter and Alexander Madison, and even Byron Murphy, their starting corner. So, some guys to keep to note on throughout the week, but we'll see what happens to them. What's the Lions report looking like, Malcolm?
Yep. So, for the Detroit Lions injury report, we have fan favorite cornerback Jerry Jacobs. He has a hamstring injury. He did not participate. Fan favorite, man. Number 23, Jerry Jacobs. He did not participate in practice. I'm just saying that so I won't get blocked. Tight end Brock Wright. He has a hip injury. He did not practice. Derek Barnes. He has a shoulder injury. He was limited. Jason Kabinda. He has a knee injury. He was limited. And C.J. Gardner-Johnson. He was limited in practice today. Levi Onwuzurike. He has a knee injury. He was limited in practice today. Penei Sewell. He has a shoulder injury. He was limited. And Frank Ragnow with a toe, knee, back, arm, legs, shoulder, knees, and toes. Everything is hurting this man, but he was a full participant today. Let's go.
Did we talk about it on the post-game show that how he played through he just had meniscus surgery a week ago. He only missed one game.
He's a soldier.
He's a different breed, man. He's a different breed, and he's important to this football team. Like, really important. I think everyone knows he's very good, and like they acknowledge that. But like, I think he is the moving factor to the offensive line. Like, that everyone like leans on. Like, it's a completely different offensive line when he's not out there. Graham Glasgow is a good center, but like when you're not having Frank out there, it makes a big difference.
Yeah, that's 100%, man. These injuries kind of concern me long term, man.
With Frank, right?
Usually when guys have all these injuries and they're battling through it, sometimes they get tired of it. Like, we've seen CJ, Calvin Johnson go through this shit. You're just battling injuries. You're always on the injury report. You have your rest, and you have a shorter career. I mean, I'm hoping this is not the case for him because he's like the staple of our offensive line, but seeing him on the injury report every week is not a good sign for his future, as far as future-wise.
Yeah, I mean, some of it has to do with rest, obviously, and he's going to be listed every week regardless. But, yeah, it's always like something like a knee or a toe or a back or a forearm or a shin. Like, you know, you're always going to see something with Frank. And, yeah, hopefully it doesn't, you know, mess the longevity. But for the most part, you know, he's out there, man, and he's tough as nails. But let's talk about the more important thing here, man. Jason Kabinda's back.
Yeah.
All right, you guys don't give a fuck about Jason Kabinda. CJ Gardner-Johnson is back from the injury.
Yo, I care about Jason Kabinda, man. That's my boy, man.
I love Jason Kabinda. We've had him on the pod a couple of times. But CJ Gardner-Johnson's back. Don't know if he's going to play this week. But, man, just to see him back on this injury report, to see him that he's back in practice and that they designated his window that he could return anywhere from now in the next 21 days, I think is absolutely huge. Now, he might not play this week against the Vikings, but maybe you potentially get a return next Saturday versus the Cowboys, or maybe the season finale versus the Vikings. Like, what perfect timing to get CJ Gardner-Johnson back while you're one game away from winning the NFC North. I think that's absolutely huge for this Lions defense, man.
Yeah, having him back is huge. I think he would definitely improve the secondary and our safety room, which is a room that's already improving with Iffy coming alive. So having him there, it's going to make it even better. So I'm excited. I want to see what he brings to the table, man. We got to see a glimpse of him earlier in the season.
Yeah. I mean, he really wasn't supposed to return. I mean, this is a six-month recovery, and he made it 3 months, and he's back, and, you know, he's ready to go, man. And obviously, you know, they signed him for a reason. He's the heart and soul, I think, of that defense. Obviously, he's the voice of that defense, especially in that secondary room. So it's good to have that swagger back under defense. And man, if they can keep playing like how they played versus Denver last week and they can add a guy like CJ Gardner-Johnson back, it's good stuff, man. You're getting him right back at the perfect timing. And I'm glad that he's getting hopefully some games under his belt before the playoffs, too. Like, if he can come back versus that Cowboys game, get two games in the regular season under your belt and then get going in the playoffs, like, that's perfect, man. That's perfect.
Is there any you think there's like a risk of him like maybe potentially coming back so early? Do you feel like he could probably potentially re-injure himself?
I mean, I think there's always a risk of that, right? And especially when you cut the recovery half the time window, like, there's definitely a possibility.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, we're not doctors in the day. He got cleared by the doctors, the professionals. So, I mean, I'm going to take their word for it. If they say he's ready to go and he says he's ready to go, I'm ready to go and watch CJ Gardner Johnson play on the football field. That's, I mean, that's how I'm going to take it.
Then let's go. Yeah, let's go, man.
And also, for people curious, we talked about this a little bit in the last episode about the ski mask returning. He himself said they're cursed. He said, no cap. I think they're cursed. So I'm glad we're on the same page with that, CJ. Don't bring that shit back. That shit is done with.
Oh, man. I know Pierre's a little bit disappointed. I know he wanted to bring out his ski mask, but I guess not.
No, no, absolutely not. So I'm glad those are gone. All right. Before we get into this game and we start talking about the Lions offense, the Lions defense versus this Vikings team, I think it was just, you know, interesting topic that Lions fans have been talking about throughout the week since this news has dropped. I believe it dropped on Monday. Ticket prices for season ticket holders have increased from all the way up to 50% up of what people were paying. Now, obviously, this doesn't affect either me or you or Pierre because neither of us are season ticket holders, right? We just go to the games when we can. We watch the game from home. Yeah, it's what it is.
Yeah.
But do you feel for these like fans that have been buying season tickets for multiple plus years, watching a crappy product of football, and now they are getting a crazy hefty? It's like a fine almost. It's like, hey, I hope you enjoyed the game Saturday night versus the Broncos. Here, you got to pay for it now. You got to pay extra. It was that good of a game. We've been that good. Now here, you got to pay for this for next season. Like, did you like, how do you feel about that? Like, how the Lions raising their season ticket prices up?
50% is a big increase. Like, nobody, like, that's even like if you shoot, like, 50% is big. Like, I think what they should do, they should have gradually, it's just had a number. And then gradually, slowly increased it yearly till they hit that number. Maybe first year, 20%, 20%, until you got that number they took it for. But to say, okay, 50%, I mean, that's a big number. But the thing is, I mean, when you look at the good teams, I mean, that's the market. I mean, the market for the season tickets, like, you look at these good teams with the good stadiums. I mean, guys, I mean, for me, I've been to multiple different away stadiums. I haven't been to a whole bunch, but I've been to a few. I think Ford Field is like one of my top favorite stadiums right now. I mean, as far as like how to have everything is, right? And that stadium itself, I think it's a really great stadium. The seats are great. I mean, I haven't been in the higher section. I don't know how it looks in the higher section, but
not bad.
I'm pretty sure if you sit in the higher section, you still have a great view of the field. You can still, it's a great seat. So, I mean, I don't really. I think they did it. They went about it wrong. But, guys, you have a good football team now. I mean, it is what it is. The prices were going to go up regardless. And as far as, like, the market, for, like, the good teams, for near season tickets, this is the price they usually pay. So, I mean, you just got to eat it, I guess. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's a little tough. And I agree. I think it should have been more of a gradual, like, a move, like, a smaller move, not just, like, hey, you're going to pay all this from 2018 to 2023, but hey, in 2024, we're going up 50%. Like, I don't like that. Yeah, like, I think every fan, especially the ticket holders, expected some type of increase going to next year with the results that happened this year and how packed Ford Field was and how high of a demand the tickets were all season. I think everyone expected some type of a raise in their ticket prices. I think it's just crazy, though, is that, like, let's say you committed to a plan that you're paying $1,500, right, a year. First season tickets, you got a pair of tickets, and that's what you're gonna pay, right? I think it's nuts to 50% of that. Now you're gonna say, hey, you're gonna pay $3,000 instead of 1,500. Like, I just don't like how they handled it, and especially the timing of it. It's like, okay, we're gonna do it at the end of the season before we even clinch NFC North and before we even got a guaranteed playoffs. But like, you're gonna make the playoffs, you're gonna clinch the North hypothetically at some point. But like, I don't know, man. I don't really like the timing of it, and I don't like the big increase all at one time. I think they could have went about this a little differently, personally.
Who was this? Is this Rod Wood? This seemed like a Rod Wood move.
Yeah, I mean, he's...
It seems like it has Rod Wood written all over it.
Whoever the marketing team is, yeah, I mean, he's part of it, right?
Yeah.
He gets the final stamp.
Yeah, he's the one that says, I guess he has the final say-so.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. I agree with you, though. Yes, tickets are going to be more demand. When the team is good, you got to get used to it, but I think it's just a reality that we have to accept, man. Like, entertainment business is just absolutely insane, dude. Like,
oh, yeah, man. Yeah,
anywhere, man. Dude. Like, if you want to go to a sporting game, you want to go to a concert, there's nothing reasonable, I think, anymore for just, like, the average American or just the average, like, person.
Yeah, I mean, me and my wife wanted to go to the Drake and 21 Savage concert. It was $500. They wanted $500 per ticket.
Yeah, like
we said no, I'm doing it.
Yeah, dude, it's just nuts, man. It's like, and I'm looking at these playoff tickets, and this is not anything against the Lions because they didn't set this, but just like looking at the Lions playoff tickets, and I compared it to the other markets like Kansas City and Philadelphia and, you know, Miami. All these teams are going to make the playoffs this year and host a playoff game. And I was just comparing. I'm like, what are the resale market looking for the Lions compared to these other teams? Now, granted, the Lions haven't released any tickets from themselves, and just only to season ticket holders. But the cheapest ticket on SeatGeek for the Detroit Lions wildcard game is $682 after fees. That is absolutely bonkers. And if you're curious about like what the Chiefs are and the Niners are, they're anywhere from like $200 to $300. Anyone from that range?
Wow. Those are the resellers from the ticket holders?
These are the resellers, yes.
Because, you know, they've been there so much, and they know what it feels like to be in the playoffs. I mean, it's like, whatever. I'll sell my ticket away for $200. But these fuckers, they're like, oh, you know, we're going to drain every penny we got from these guys.
I get it, man. I know it's a big thing. The Lions haven't hosted a playoff game at Ford Field ever. Like there's only been one playoff game ever at Ford Field, and it was a Super Bowl that had nothing to do with the Lions. Yeah. So I understand. It's a huge game. It's a huge deal to us. We're talking about it, but like, I don't know, man. I'm curious to see what the Lions, if they ever do release some tickets to the public, how much those are going to be compared to these other markets. Cause right now, dude, for the average person, like I said, I just don't see like how that is a reasonable price for someone just wanting to watch their football team in the playoffs for the first time. I don't know. I think there's some things that are just a little too steep, and that's one of them for me. $682 for the cheapest ticket. Come on, man.
Yeah, that's pretty damn steep. I can't even lie, man. That's steep.
I mean, not that this is the same thing, but like I went to Green Bay earlier in the year, right?
Yeah.
8-hour drive. Had to get a hotel room, and I got good seats. I was row 7, lower bowl. I think I averaged it out. I think if I were to buy a playoff ticket from one of these resellers on SeatGeek right now, I think I'd pay the same exact price, if maybe more, for a game that I live 30 minutes away from.
Yeah.
That's factoring a hotel room, gas, and game tickets.
You know, in my situation, man, I've been waiting for this moment my whole life, man. So I'm in a fucking mood, man. I mean, if they don't resell those tickets, then the Lions will not come out with cheaper tickets, man. I'm going to eat that fucking price. I'm going to fly out to Detroit because I've been waiting for this moment my entire life. I think that's what the mindset of people right now who sell these tickets. They're like, man.
They're going to get people like us.
They're saying these people have been waiting for 30 years for this moment. They're going to pay the $600. They know there's fuckers out there like me who's been waiting for this moment their whole life. They always wanted to see a Lions home playoff game, and they know that's dummy like me is gonna go out there and pay the $600, and I'm telling you right now, me the dummy to pay $600. They don't come out cheaper prices. I'm gonna just say I gotta do it. I just have to attend this event, baby, because I've been waiting for this my entire life.
Well, if you guys want to cut us a discount, season ticket holder, you know you guys can always privately DM us. We won't expose your price. We'll say we'll buy it for $600. But if you guys want to give us a discount,
please, man, please.
We are willing to negotiate. So. I don't know, man. I hope it's lower. I mean, not even just for me, just for the fans like you and people that have been waiting for this moment for so many years. Fuck, I am part of that, man. I've been waiting for this for my whole life, dude. I want to see this. I want to see it live. But come on, man. I live 30 minutes away. You expect me to pay $700 for this game? Come on, man. And that's I can't even accept what is the division round going to be if they get the 2 seed and they win that game?
Oh no!
What is that going
to
be?
I don't even want to know. That's why I'm trying to get the wild card game. Mark this off my bucket list and call it a day, man. I attended the Lions home playoff game, marked it off my bucket list. Whatever happened, division game, watching it at home. That's it is what it is. I mean, I don't want to know.
That's
like, and Super Bowl is a whole nother story. Super Bowl. Watching that from the crib too.
Super Bowl, man. Ugh. We might have to go to Vegas and do a show there at the Wynn Hotel at the Blue Wire Studios.
Hey, I'll be down for that.
We can do something like that. Maybe not attend the game, but we'll find a spot to watch it. Now, you know, we'll get there first. We'll figure that all out. But I don't know. There's something that was on my mind. I saw people talking about it. I do feel for the Lions fans that have been you know, buying tickets and going every single week and attending and, you know, for the most part, not getting a good product until pretty much last year, second half of the year. So I do feel for the fans that are getting this ticket increase, but it's kind of like what Malcolm said, but it is what it is. It's just reality now. And we kind of just kind of have to accept it at this point. Like there isn't $100 ticket anymore. Like that's time is the past right now. And just, it's the time we're in right now and it sucks, but it is what it is.
This is the time we're in right now.
You know what they say, man? Everything goes up but our paychecks.
That's true, man. That's true.
They say. All right, let's get back into this football game.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights.
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
An opportunity where the Lions have to go clinch a division against the Minnesota Vikings. We'll talk about this offense versus this Vikings defense. Start off with you, Malcolm. Obviously, this Lions offense got it clicking last week. They got him back to rhythm. They look like the Lions offense that we expected. Now they're traveling to Minnesota, and Brian Flores has been pretty stout this year on his defense. What do you expect the Lions to accomplish this Sunday versus the Vikings?
What do I expect them to accomplish? Like, you telling me how we should attack their defense, or what are we expecting? Okay. I'm hoping the same exact thing that we saw last week. I'm hoping that what we saw last week is something that's going to take us, springboard us forward to the next few games, and we're going to ride to these playoffs with that same chemistry offensively. I think the offense is running perfectly with Jared Goff, the way he's passing the ball, the way we mix our running attack with it. I think we're a really balanced team, and I'm hoping that we stay that way. And as far as the Vikings, I mean, I hope they attack them that way. I know the Vikings are right now playing really great defense. If we could, you know, our offensive line, if they're able to control their pass rush, and we could keep Jared Goff clean, I am expecting a very good game from Jared Goff. One of their top cornerbacks is already out. Their starting cornerback, I'm not saying he's out, but he didn't practice, he could trend to not play. So if he doesn't play, I think it'll make their secondary a little bit, it'll hurt their secondary a little bit more. And then you can just, like I said, they be going their balance, just like you did last weekend. We'll see how that goes, man. That's what I'm looking for. I want to see if they're going to go in there and fire on cylinders, just like they did last week.
Yeah. I mean, if the offense is playing to the caliber that we're expecting it, I'm going to be totally honest. Like, there's not really a single defense in the NFL that really scares me as far as, like, the Lions' offense capability if they're playing the way they're playing. And it really all starts up front, like I said. I've been saying this for weeks and for years, obviously. It all starts up front, man. If they could play the way that they played last Saturday versus the Broncos and the way that I expect them to play, like a top three offensive line unit, I don't think there's a single defense in the NFL that could, you know, stop this Lions offense. Now, am I expecting 42 points every single week? No, absolutely not. That's a crazy ask, right? But dynamic, high-powered, that's what this Lions offense is. And I know you mentioned some guys on the injury report with like Penei Sewell and Ragnow being on the injury report, but expecting them all to go, if that's the case, I don't see why the Lions can't be a high-powered offense in this game and, you know, do what they got to do on offense. They just have too many guys, man. They're like, if you're a defensive coordinator and you talk about the Detroit Lions or you're just kind of trying to scheme against the Detroit Lions, it's like, where do you even start? Do you start with the running backs with Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery? Do you start with Amon-Ra St. Brown or Sam Laporta? Like, where do you start with this Lions offense? It's just so dynamic and high-powered. And I think about that because, you know, we always talk about other teams' offenses and, like, how to scheme against theirs. For the Lions, I don't know where you start. Do you stop the running game? Do you stop the passing game? It's high-powered both ways. And if it's clicking, it's scary, man.
I mean, if I was a defensive coordinator, I'll go in there and I'd want to stop the Detroit Lions running game. That'll be my mindset. If you could go in there, if you could stop the running game, put as much pressure on Goff as possible. I mean, the normal game plan, I mean, what you would want to do if you're playing against the Detroit Lions. But I think it starts from the running game because the running game kind of gets everything going. But like we saw last week, they kind of threw everybody off because usually, I think all year, every single game all year, they start off the game running the ball. I think we've seen that all year. Every single game. But last week, they came out passing the ball, which was, I think, was a great strategy. They came out play action, first play. They came out right, you know, passing the ball, Jared Goff. I think it was three straight passes. That's what you would want to do to kind of keep teams, you know, off balance because they want to go in there to stop the Detroit Lions running game. That's their mindset.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot easier said than done, right? They're number two rushing offense for a reason, yeah. And they're number four passing offense for a reason. Like,
yeah,
they're top five in both categories. I mean, they just have so many dynamic pieces. And I think the reason why that Lions offense was in that rut and that little funk they were for four-game span was the offensive line play, and the creativity of play calling wasn't the same as we expected. Like you said, last week, I think Ben Johnson was in his bag. Like, it was like one of those creative game plans where you just really had no idea what to expect. Like, everything was, you know, was pretty much catching you off guard. I mean, five straight passes to start the game against that Broncos run defense was not expected from anyone, even the Broncos, right? So, like, yeah. That was definitely shocking. And it didn't work out, evidently. Like, they didn't score any points from it. But, like, it set the tone. It's like, hey, you're not going to know what we're going to run. You know, that we're going to be creative. We're going to have a certain game plan against yours. And if Ben Johnson can continue this in this game and going forward, going to the playoffs, that's when you see that high-powered offense that we expect and we saw in the first half of the season.
Yeah, definitely, man. I think the main thing right now is making sure that they keep everything rolling. You mean, you don't want to take any step backwards. Keep taking steps forward, and we don't want to see this team taking any step backwards as we head on to these playoffs, man, because if we can keep taking a little step forward from what we've seen last week, and they take a little step forward this game, next game, and the following game, shoot. I mean, the sky's the limit for this team.
I think, too, that they did very well, at least last game, and something that was kind of an issue before was they're getting everybody involved now, like St. Brown, Laporta, JMO got involved last week. They're getting both their backs involved, Gibbs and Montgomery. You see them sprinkle in Josh Reynolds. You see them sprinkle in Khalif Raymond, and maybe you'll get a player or two from Donovan Peoples-Jones. Like, they sprinkle everybody into this offense, which I think is a very, like, good thing, and it keeps defenses on their heels because you don't know who to stop. There isn't just like a decoy out there. Like, if they're on the field, they have an opportunity to go catch that ball and make a play. And I think there was a stat, I think it was the last game, it was like the first, like almost at the end of the first half, I think Kevin Harlan said there's been 9 different Detroit receivers that have caught the ball.
Wow. I didn't realize that it was that many receivers that
caught. It was something. It was something crazy like that, where like they got like 8 or 9 different guys involved. So, you know, they're getting everyone involved, and if they can continue that, man, that's when it gets scary here.
Yeah, 100%, man. If you get everybody involved and everybody's clicking, it's gonna be really hard to stop Detroit, man. They have weapons everywhere.
Yeah, and just as far as, you know, baseline numbers, the Vikings are the 5th ranked defense in stopping the run and 17th against the pass. And on third down, they are ranked 23rd, and they get off the field at a 40% clip, or they give up a 40% clip on third down. So, you know, they have some vulnerabilities as well, but they've been playing better recently. I think since people have adjusted to Brian Flores' defense, they've been playing a little bit better. But, you know, frankly, I just think you're a better team than the Vikings too. I think what you have offensively compared to their defense, they have some good pieces like Danielle Hunter, who didn't practice, but expecting him to be out there, and who's given us a lot of issues. You know, I think you just have a better offense than their defense, and you should be able to exploit that in this game.
Yeah, I mean, it all depends about your front, your offensive line.
It does.
If they could keep golf clean, this could look like a game similar to last week where we saw against Denver Broncos, who also had a really good defense. But the key is keeping golf clean, and that's what they have to do. And we'll see how they handle Brian Flores because he blitzes and pressures a lot. He blitzes. I don't know the percentage. Pierre probably knows the exact percentage, but he blitzes at a very high rate. Damn near almost every play. Almost every play. Not every play, but he blitzes almost every play. I'll say, if I had to take a guess, I'll say maybe 80%.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lie. I don't know if it's 80%, but it's a lie. It's definitely a lie.
It's a whole lot where you send an extra man at the quarterback, man, which is, I mean, we got to, they have to protect him, man.
Yeah, they got to be aware of that for sure. And I mean, we saw it last week with the Lions defense. They were doing all that type of stuff. It looked like a Brian Flores defense. So, you know, I think, you know, they should be prepared for that. Hopefully. I mean, they haven't been a great team against the blitz this year, so hopefully that changes in this Sunday. Because last year they were balling. Every time they blitzed Goff, Goff was reading it perfectly, and he was balling. So, you know, getting back to those tendencies would be nice.
Yeah, we'll see how they handle it, man.
Yeah, it's a different type of animal, man. It's a different type of beast that you're going against. You know, it's like you said, it's a team that likes to bring pressure, and they bring pressures from a lot of different ways. So we will see what happens. And obviously, got to play clean this game. They did a great job last week playing clean, no turnovers. Yeah, continue that, man. It is as minimal the turnovers. Obviously, we talk about games are warranted in the turnover battle. So, you know, if they could keep that at a minimal and, you know, have another clean game, I expect good things from this offense.
Yeah, same here.
All right. Let's get into this Lions defense now against this Lions-led defense. Nick Mullins is going to be the starting quarterback this Sunday for the Vikings. Do you think that gives us a better shot?
Nick Mullins?
Compared to their other two, Jaren Hall and Dobbs?
I think he gives a better shot than Dobbs. Dobbs, even though he has a little struggles, his feet kind of worried me a little bit. Well, what he's able to do if he escapes the pocket. So having Nick Mullins there, who's not really as mobile as Dobbs, I really like our matchup. Especially they play defense like they did last week. I really like our matchup. But yeah, Nick Mullins, I'm not expecting him to carve us up. If he does, I'll be pissed.
Yeah, I mean, it's fair. I think something that Lions fans feel confident about with Aaron Glenn, I know a lot of people feel indifferent about Aaron Glenn, but I think one thing that people feel confident about with Aaron Glenn is that if they're not playing a mobile quarterback, they should be able to get the job done. And, you know, Nick Mullins is not that mobile. So I think it is a better matchup because that is Aaron Glenn's big description tonight is the mobile quarterbacks and how does he stop them? I mean, we haven't really seen one good game yet of them, you know, doing a good job against a running quarterback. I would say the best one was probably the one a couple weeks ago versus Fields. Yeah.
Yes.
And even Fields at certain times had his moments, right? Like where he escaped and got a first down or he even got that touchdown on the third and goal. So, yeah, I mean, you don't have to worry about Mullins' legs. So I think that gives a better opportunity for this Lions defense that you don't have to worry about that as well and just worry about getting pressure. And they did a great job last week versus the Broncos and getting pressure on Russell Wilson. Russell doesn't move like the same like he did in the past in Seattle. And they got creative the way they were pressuring him. And I think they could do it again this week versus the Vikings.
Yeah, they really went after Russell Wilson, man. They got to a point. I almost feel bad for him. But yeah, hopefully they had the same result that they're able to get after Nick Mullins, man. They can get Nick Mullins. I think they're gonna really disturb their offense, which I think their offense is challenged as far as like they're not getting anything rolling right now. Like as far as I think they hit a big roadblock as far as getting things going offensively. But maybe having Jefferson back helps them. I don't know. How do you feel about Jefferson being back?
I mean, that's a big deal. I mean, it's like, I think you arguably are the best receiver in the NFL right now, right? And like, that's a huge piece added to your offense. And he's now been back. This is going to be his third game back. And, you know, it's not just Justin Jefferson. They have a lot of good players on their offense. So, like, as far as skill players, you got Jordan Addison, who's been a ball in as a rookie. Obviously, we know about TJ Hockenson. He's a good player. And KJ Osborne's always just a player that always just gives us issues, it feels like, every single year. So they have some weapons that, you know, our secondary is going to have some issues with. Like, these are, you know, guys that aren't slouches. Like, these are very, very good players. But I was encouraged last Saturday with how they played the Denver Broncos skill players. And I think this is a different animal. You know, they did a very good job with Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy and all their skill players. I think got a different animal this week with Jefferson, Addison, and Osborne and Hockenson. I mean, these are very good players, very good skill players. And even that game we beat them last year at Ford Field, I think Justin Jefferson had over 200 yards. So obviously a different defense from the Lions, got some new players in there. But you have to find a way to contain Justin Jefferson. You're not going to completely stop him, but you have to find a way to contain him. And Jordan Addison, he's a dynamic wide receiver too for this team. So they got their handfuls. They got their handful this Sunday.
Are you expecting Cam Sutton to shadow Jefferson?
I mean, he did it versus Sutton, and he did it versus Adams that one Raiders game. I don't know how comfortable I feel with Cam Sutton shadowing Justin Jefferson. That doesn't sound good on paper, but we said that last week, and he did a very good job. He's been very, very good recently. Yeah, but on paper, like, I don't know, man. That doesn't sound great.
It sounds like a 200-yard game for Jefferson. I mean, the thing is the quarterback going to be able to get the ball to him?
Yes, that's the big part. And obviously, you got to get pressure up front. That's the most important thing. But my worry is like, if we don't get the pressure right away and we see that inconsistent Lions pass rush, that's when it can get very scary. And like, it doesn't matter who your quarterback is at that point. If you're not getting pressure, Nick Mullins or Patrick Mahomes, they're going to cover up your defense. So that's the big thing, man. Like, and that's the biggest thing that's going to be going forward for this Lions defense. Like, it was great last week versus the Broncos at getting pressure. It was better the week before versus the Bears. But then, like, I can pull up the Thanksgiving game, or I could pull up the first Bears matchup. Like, it is such an inconsistent pass rush. You don't know what to expect on a Sunday basis.
And that's the thing. We can't have anything inconsistent right now. At this point right now in the season, you cannot be inconsistent. You got to take steps forward. You cannot take any steps backward. So this defense we saw last week, we have to see the same defense we saw last week this week against Minnesota.
Yeah. And, you know, we've been talking about these cornerback twos since they benched Jerry Jacobs. They've been going to guys like Khalil Dorsey and Kendall Vildor. You guys got a big test this week. I mean, you know, like the last 2 weeks, you got to go against the Bears' number two receiver, which is like, who is that, Darnell Mooney or something like that. And then last week, you got to go against Jerry Jeudy. Now this week, you get to get Jordan Addison. Like, that's a tough animal right there. So, you know, what's your answer there? So, you know, we've been talking highly about these guys. This will really prove to me if they are the answer going forward. You know, I mean, we really don't have any other, you know, guys to step in for them right now. But, you know, this is a big test for them.
Yeah, 100%. The quality of receivers you're playing before is going to be way different from against the Vikings. But, again, right, it starts from up front. Put pressure on Nick Mullins. Make it easier for these guys. Make it easier for Kemp Sutton and Dorsey and whoever else is playing corner for us. But make it easier for these guys, man. Get pressure on Nick Mullins, man. I think that's what they have to do.
I think it'll be interesting, too, is something the Lions have been very good at all year on defense is the run defense department. And it looks like Alexander Mattison might go this week, but if he does go, he's going to be the backup to Ty Chandler.
Not factor.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that's the case. You know, I hope that is the case where that he could be a non-factor and you make Nick Mullins one-dimensional and, you know, let everything go on his arm. But, you know, Ty Chandler, I'm going to pull up the numbers from what he did last Saturday versus the Bengals because he played well. So Ty Chandler, 23 carries, 132 yards, average for 5.7 yards per carry, had one touchdown and had a long of 30 yards. So a very, very good game on the ground for Chandler. And obviously, different run defense comparing the Bengals to the Lions. But, you know, that's another test they have. But I think you feel confident about this Lions run defense against anyone, truthfully.
Yeah, I mean, the Lions defense have done one thing right all year. They've been consistent in one area all year. It's been stopping the run as far as stopping running backs and having them have one of their worst games when they play against the Detroit Lions. And that's something that they've been consistent. And that's as far as like any worries about a running back potentially going off for 100 yards or anything, I am not worried at all. I think that this defense is going to be able to contain any running back. Now, quarterback that has legs, okay, we have a little bit of a question right there. But as far as like them handing the ball off, I think they do a really good job as far as having they have two nose tackles playing defensive tackles for them, so that they really, really, really plug up those gaps. It makes it really hard for those running backs. So I'm not worried one bit with these running backs. Nick Mullins is going to have to beat us. There's going to have to be a combination of Nick Mullins and their defense if they have any shot of beating the Detroit Lions.
Yeah. What's your concern level with this game overall? On a scale of 1 to 10?
Concern level, I would say a 3. Three and a half.
So you're pretty confident. You're at like a 7 right now, confident wise.
From what I seen last week, yeah, man. I mean, if we didn't have that game that we had last week, I would have said, man, this is. I mean, I don't know. You know, if say we would have had, you know, more offensive struggles last week, and you know the defense were kind of up and down. They're just playing okay football, not that what we see last week. We were playing great football. I would have some questions, man, because. No, now you're going against a defense that's going to put pressure on Goff. They're going to, you know, try to make it tough on Goff. And I would have had some questions. I mean, I wouldn't have been worried about their running game. But as far as their defense and creating turnovers and putting pressure on Goff, I would have had questions. But I'm confident that this team right now, offensively, is going to be able to keep Goff clean. And if that happens, I think we will see a very similar game to last week.
Yeah. So you think we have a shot to blow the doors against the Vikings?
This is similar to last week. Yeah, they do a job, good job keeping Goff clean. If that defense looked like the same defense we seen last week, then yeah, I expect them to clean game from Goff and have them to handle business.
That'd be nice. That'd be a nice Christmas Eve gift to just blow the doors, sit back comfortably, and enjoy the game. I don't know. I could see this being a little closer game. I think the Vikings offense could give us a little more issues than the Broncos did last week, but. Hey, man, they came out with a great game plan last Saturday versus the Broncos. I think you have a little more talent this Sunday versus the Vikings, and you're going to their place too. And obviously, they're playing for a lot right now. I mean, the Vikings, they're technically still in this division race. I mean, what they need to win this division is, I mean, they control their own destiny, because they don't. But
no, they don't. They need a miracle. They need a win out and a miracle.
So they need a win out, and they have two of them against us, obviously. And then one, they would need the Lions lose to the Cowboys, I mean, which is possible.
Very possible.
So
again, they need us to lose out,
which they control basically. You know, they control two of the three games at least. Yeah. I mean, they don't control the Dallas game, but like I feel like if they win this Sunday, like I think they're gonna feel a lot more confident. Like, you know, saying, hey, the Lions lose Saturday versus Cowboys, and then we have an opportunity to go play for the division at Ford Field on Week 18. I'm not speaking that into existence. That would be absolutely awful. Let's just end it this Sunday, Christmas Eve. Let's win it. But I'm just saying, man, they're playing for a lot right now. And if it's not for the division, they're playing for a playoff spot right now. They have a lot to play for, the Vikings. So,
yeah, I mean, they do. So did the Denver Broncos last week.
They did.
We saw what happened to them.
They did. So I just want to see that consistent Lions play like they did last Saturday. Now, I don't expect that every Saturday the way that they play, but if they could play anything close to that, you should be in good shape, hopefully.
If they play anything close to like they played last week, they'll be in good shape.
Yes. And that's all you ask. That's all you ask for. You know, yep. Win the football game. So we will see, man. It's going to be an exciting Sunday, an exciting game. I can't wait. I love this, man. I love this. How much more fun is it actually talking about meaningful football in December rather than talking about the draft right now?
Yeah. Wow. We usually do talk about the draft right about now.
Truthfully, I think I've looked at one mock draft. Like so far, yeah, only one.
You say you done one mock draft?
I didn't do any. I was just like looked at it. I was just like, you know, like Google search one and found one on ESPN.
I haven't even looked into the draft and the prospects or any of that stuff yet.
It's fun, man. I like that. I like that we could wait till February, maybe later January, and then we could worry about that stuff. I mean, the main thing I'm looking at, like when I'm looking at these mocks, is like, oh, what pick are the Lions even at right now? Like, I don't even know. I can't even tell you right now. The last year, I can tell you, oh, we're at 6 and we're at 18. You know, like I can tell you right on top of my head.
What are we gonna be like anywhere outside of 20? Right, we'd be like 20.
Right now, yeah, I think we would be like in the 25s to. I mean, it all depends on your playoff success because it would go higher, obviously, if you're winning. So, I mean, I think right now, if the season were to end, and you know. Let's say there's no playoffs, obviously, which is going to happen. But I think it'd be like 25, 24.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
So then that'd be the highest pick I've ever seen the Lions pick, like their own pick ever.
Yeah, I think mine is too. I think it's the highest too.
I think the highest I've ever seen was probably
Ted Decker. Was that Ted Decker or was that Was that Davis?
I think it was Tomlinson, Lakeland.
Lakeland Tomlinson?
Lakeland Tomlinson, yeah. When they, because they were 11-5 in 2014, and then they lost in the playoff game, the first round to the Dallas Cowboys. I think they were in like the late 20s. Yeah, yeah. So they drafted him in 2015. That was a shit. We're not gonna get into that draft. That was ass. But yeah, I think it was Lakeland Tomlinson and then Decker. Yeah, that was obviously up there in Davis too. Jared Davis.
Yeah.
So, all right, y'all. That is gonna be a wrap to this episode. Hope you guys all enjoyed. Hope you guys go sit back on Sunday at 1 o'clock, and hopefully we all enjoy this NFC North title for the first time ever in franchise history. It's gonna be an awesome moment. They have to do it first, but it would be an awesome moment, and it would be a great Christmas gift. So we'll be live on YouTube and Twitter an hour before the game with the inactives, and then we'll be live on Spaces right after the game, hopefully celebrating an NFC North title. So that's all I got for you guys. Peace.
All right, y'all. It's your boy Malcolm, and I'll see y'all Sunday, man. I'm out, man. Peace.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.